For the rest of the program, I will turn it over to Salima Malzahn, who is going to do the reading and the rest of the program.
Our reading this morning is a poem by Mary Oliver, quite familiar to many of us. It's called Wild Geese. You do not have to be good. You do not have to walk on your knees for 100 miles through the desert repenting. You only have to let the soft animal of your body love what it loves. Tell me about despair, yours, and I will tell you mine. Meanwhile, the world goes on. Meanwhile, the sun and the clear pebbles of the rain are moving across the landscapes, over the prairies and the deep trees, the mountains and the rivers. Meanwhile, the wild geese, high in the clean blue air, are heading home again. Whoever you are, no matter how lonely, the world offers itself to your imagination, calls to you like the wild geese, harsh and exciting, over and over, announcing your place in the family of things. As David said so eloquently, welcome to our house. Those of us that have been coming for a long time, those of us that have been coming for a while, those of us that come back after an absence, and those of you that are here for the very first time today. Hospitality is our theme for this month. And hospitality, according to the dictionary, is about a warm and generous attitude toward those guests who cross our threshold. I like to think of hospitality more as grace. The guest doesn't have to earn it. You don't have to be good, walk on your knees across the desert repenting in order to be welcome here. You are welcome here, no matter what. And as I look out this morning, I see that, as usual, people are sitting with people they know, people they came with. I'm going to ask you to get up, move around, and sit with somebody that you don't know. Let's see how that feels. Or at least somebody you don't know very well. So now that you've resituated yourself and you're sitting next to someone that is someone you don't know very well, but you will, I want to say that, again, when we invite someone into our home, into our house, we don't just want you to come and occupy a seat in the sanctuary. We want you to come and let us each occupy seats in each other's hearts. Some of us have been doing that for a long time here. One of those is our elder grand lady, Helen Platt. You knew I was going to say Helen Platt, didn't you? Yes. Helen has been here a very long time. She is a very active member of our Eldertopia group and a member of the humanist group as well. So what we're going to do this morning is bring up a few people who come from various backgrounds, who have been here long time, short time. We're going to start with Helen. And then we're going to call on you if you have something that you would like to say about coming to WOOF, feeling welcome, or whatever. Helen, do you want to come up?
have been here a long time. As a matter of fact, my husband and I were here for the very, very first meeting of WWF in 1955. But this morning I'm going to talk about the humanists and Eldertopia. The humanists is a group that meets the first and third Sundays in Forest Hall, which is a room on the other side of the kitchen downstairs. And Tom Needham is our facilitator. Is Tom here?
Maybe downstairs.
Okay. There's about 10 or 15 people who come at 9 o'clock in the morning, from 9 to 10. And Eldertopia is also a small group that meets on the second and fourth Thursdays in Forest Hall from 1:30 to 3 p.m. in the afternoon. And Salima is our facilitator. And there's about 8 or 10 participants. What I like about these two groups is it's a small, intimate group, and we get a chance to know each other and to speak, and it reminds me of the old days of the fellowship when we were very small and everybody knew everybody else, and you had an opportunity to get to know people and to converse and just enjoy the time together. And I hope that those of you who are new and have not participated will join one of the many small groups that we have and become more active, and you'll get much more out of the fellowship than just coming and sitting on a Sunday morning. Thank you.
Thank you, dear.
So there is room for all. Matt, do you want to come up next? This is Matt Wesson, and we don't see him on Sunday mornings in the sanctuary much, but he's a faithful member of the Buddhist group, right?
Mm-hmm. I first came to WWF about a year ago, just right after the Trumpocalypse. It seemed to me to be no longer time to be on my own, and I felt as if I needed a shelter in a community. My daughter also helped bring me here. She's been a seeker of sorts ever since she was 9 years old, always looking for something beyond this world of matter and energy and entropy. So we decided to go together. I've always been an intellectual, a big thinker. I've always felt a bit apart from the humans around me, as if they were off or as if I were off. People being mean to each other for no reason always puzzled me. And a great deal else about them also left me feeling out of place sometimes. Anyhow, things felt so bad post-election that I wanted to be folded into something deeper. And my daughter, Allegra, being interested in these things was a perfect excuse. Came here for a couple of Sunday services, felt great, met some great people after the services, although the hymn singing is still problematic for me. Then I heard about the Buddhist group, and I naturally gravitated over there. I've always been interested in Buddhism. I suppose it's always been attractive to people who are deep into thinking. Once I got into our Buddhist group, I felt at home. Perhaps I was a Buddhist monk in a previous life, or at any rate, maybe the accepting attitude that I've always found here made me feel at home. In one of my first meetings, one of the topics was the Sangha, the Buddhist community. This struck me somehow that we were more than a discussion group. And indeed, I do love the discussions and the way that different people relate to the ideas from the books. But what I like more than anything else is the energy that I feel. Almost the minute I sit down, I feel a wakeful energy stirring and reaching out to join with the people around me. It's very refreshing and healing. The discussions are also great. I have a lot of ideas of my own, but I love encountering what other people have to say. Zen Master Sun San remarked that the group, the Sangha, is like washing potatoes. It takes forever to wash potatoes one at a time, so what they do in Korea is they put all the potatoes in a big tub of water and knock them around with a big stick, and the potatoes all knock the dirt off each other. Finally, we end our session with a 20-minute meditation. Some have commented that's what really brings the good energy together of everyone connecting. That energy, I feel, is what really propels me to get in my car with my daughter and go to the group every week. I thank the WOOF Fellowship for welcoming us and making the space to make this possible. I feel very fortunate.
So, old people, young people, middle people, young people. Jack Tynagle, our fiddler. Come on.
Ooh, I get a musical introduction. So, as the dictionary definition that Salima gave was warm and a generous attitude, that's what hospitality is. That is definitely what I felt, but I would also agree grace and the not feeling of needing to earn that was another great thing that I first felt when I came here. I was looking for WOOF. I didn't know I was looking for WOOF specifically, but I was looking for something that gave me what WOOF gives me. And I found it when I needed it. I moved here last October, with no job and one friend in here. One, actually, she's here now. So that was a hard time. I just finished a degree, so I was also, you know, waiting for school loans to come due. And, needless to say, that was a stressful time. Then the election happened 3 weeks later, and it continued to be a stressful time. So, we showed up here the first Sunday after the election, as I think a lot of people did. In fact, Matt was one of the first people I talked to there. So I think there are three things that I was lacking and that I think a lot of our society is lacking that I've found here at WOOF, and those are ritual, community, and intergenerational learning and opportunities for service. So I know maybe not everyone here grew up with ritual. As I said, I think it's lacking in our post-religious sectors of American society. Basically, all we're left with is marriages and funerals, and those are not that common, thankfully, on one hand. Those are the only deep spiritual feeling rituals that we still have in our society, and if you aren't religious, then you don't really find any other deep spiritual rituals, which is something that you can find here. I was missing this, especially because I grew up Lutheran. I went to church every Sunday, I sang hymns every Sunday, played music in church, played the violin every Sunday. So when I left the church, that was really hard to be lacking something that had been such a big part of my life, and I found it here. But something that I also missed, partially because I moved and partially because I left the church, is community. And that was definitely something I felt when I first came here. It was very welcoming. As Matt mentioned, I felt folded in. Those exactly the words I was thinking of. I felt welcomed, like just folded into this community, even if I didn't always show up. But I think that community is another thing that our society lacks, especially in our, maybe especially my generation, where we depend on social media to communicate and often end up not seeing people in person as often. And that can lead to isolation or feelings of isolation, even when we're not alone. And so being here with people, real people, who are always going to be there and always going to be welcoming is necessary and a great feeling. Also, the community allows, it facilitates two other things. That's service and education. So it holds you accountable when you come here and you're with people with shared values. you're not just at home, you know, maybe typing on Facebook saying, I support this, you're here. There are people who see you supporting it, and they say, where are you? Are you doing anything to support this movement? So the movements for social justice and civic activity here are something that I haven't found in other churches, but I really appreciate here. And there's so many, as has been mentioned, so many small groups and opportunities for service. So that would be the three things that I found here is the community, the connection, and the ritual. And the welcoming atmosphere here has definitely provided those for me.
I hope I didn't offend you by calling you a fiddler. Kim Transier and her daughter Jane, who spoke up during the Time for All Ages this morning, have been here for quite a while, since Jane was a little bitty girl. And Kim, do you want to come up and talk a little bit?
I'm Kim Transier. I guess I represent the middle. I'm 50. And I've been coming to WOOF for about 10 years. My UU story starts about 15 years ago when I was telling somebody how I envied my Christian relatives because they had this place they could go every week, this place that they not just could go, but automatically always did go, that was just part of their life, where they not only got to hang out with people they liked and, you know, drink the coffee and have a nice time, but also be drawn back to trying to be their best self and who they really were or wanted to be. And not in a scolding way, but in an inspiring, grounded way. And I envied that, and I said, I wish there were such a place for atheists. And the acquaintance I was talking to, who was not a UU, said, I think the Unitarian Universalists might be something you would want to check out. And so I did, and I first went to, for about a year, and this was during the year that Jane was born, I went to a church where I always loved what happened. The sermons were fantastically inspiring. The music was wonderful. The people were really nice. There was, I can't say a thing against it, except that after going there for a year, I still just felt like a spectator. A fan, you know, a really enthusiastic spectator, but just still on the edge. And I felt like, and of course, it was becoming kind of conspicuous that I wasn't a member. And I realized even after a year, I didn't really feel like becoming a member. I didn't feel like I was any closer to the heart of the place than I had been at the beginning. So I shopped around and came to WOOF. And from the very first day, it felt like, well, at that time, it was kind of an energy of, you know, hey, kids, let's put on a show. We could use my father's barn. And it felt so family made, homemade, you know, and a bit seat of the pants, but everything would work out and everybody pulled together and everybody was part of it and nobody was a spectator. And I felt like, There's a place for me here. And at that time, Jane was not yet two. And I felt like this would be a nice place for her to grow up. And one of the first things that happened after I'd been here less than a month is that somebody came up and asked me to join a committee, and I did. I think it was maybe my third or fourth Sunday here. And a lot of us feel kind of apologetic about asking new people to join a committee because, you know, you don't want to put them to work that quickly. But for some of us, having a friendly person come up to you at coffee hour and try to engage you in conversation and ask you where you're from and what you do is hell. Some people, and I think we are a minority, I think most people like to be approached by friendly people, but there is this minority of people who find that terrifying, and I'm one of them. But to be put to work, yes, do that, yes. That I can do. Don't make me make eye contact with you and ask you about yourself. But if we are both working together on a project, then we become friends in a way that I can cope with. So I joined committees, serially. In fact, I made it a practice over the course of my years at WOOF, my policy is that I say yes to every seventh thing that Sulima asks me to do. I recommend this policy to all of you. Of the several committees that I've been on, at least three of them were because Sulima asked me to, and I became a lay leader because Sulima asked me to. So, yes, that's my advice for you all, is that you should intermittently do things that Sulima asks. Let's see, anything else? Oh, and it did turn out to be a great place for Jane to grow up. She's 12, and her at-easeness among people from babies to 90-year-olds is entirely because of growing up at WOOF and all the people she has come to know and trust over just running around this building and feeling at home here. And that's been really great to see.
Well, my cover's been blown, no? I came here about 18 years ago, and I came because Jeremy Taylor, who was a dream analyst and a very popular writer, was speaking here. And one of my friends wanted to come, and so I brought her. And I had never known about this place, this little place in the woods. So I came back. And I came back on a Sunday when there was a congregational meeting happening. And I thought, whoa, let's sit in on this and see how they do things around here. And it was good. It was good. I liked the process, and I liked the way people talked with each other and shared with each other. And so I came back again, and then I found out that they had a dance choir. And I joined the dance choir, and I had a very good time with them for about 10 years or so before they kind of went their way. And now I understand they're coming back. I'm not, but they are. So what I'd like to do now, we have a good 20 minutes that we can spend hearing from you, those of you that have come, that have rejoiced, that have stayed, share some of your stories with us, if you will. Okay. Rosie's going to bring the mic around, and I imagine more hands will go up as we go. I see Diane.
Right. I mentioned the first time I was here, they asked me to teach RE.
The first time, they waited a couple of weeks with me. First of all, I guess the first thing I wanted to say was that I'm very glad that I didn't wait for every seventh thing that Sulima asked me to do.
Would you stand up, Diane, and just kind of, so let's do
sure.
that. Stand up so everybody can see everybody.
I did what Sulima asked me to do and came to WOOF. Sulima invited me to come here, and I'm so glad I did. I come from a family of atheists of Jewish descent who have never been joiners. And as a result, I think that especially my mother was very lonely because she didn't have a lot of friends. She sort of was home. And I discovered after being widowed and then moving to Portland that I was sort of in a similar situation and I didn't quite know what to do about it. And at Salima's suggestion, I don't think that that's why you necessarily suggested it, but mm-hmm. I came here and I realized how much being in a community can do for you. It's I don't have a word for it. I have a gesture for it. And that's how I feel. I just rubbed Rosie's hand because she's over here. I'm a whole different person than I was before I came to WOOF. I've never been active in anything. I'm really active at WOOF. I'm on the board. I've been here like 5 times this week. And I don't suggest that anybody who isn't already doing it, and you know who you are, do that. But I think the thing that surprised me even more than that, because I knew that community was what I was looking for, is that in the process I have begun developing a very strong and ever deepening spiritual life. And so WOOF gave me an opportunity not only to do what I sort of knew I needed to do, but something that I didn't know I needed to do. But I needed it very badly. And I will be forever grateful. It has made this part of my life so rich and so wonderful, and as has everyone here, and thank you.
Thank you, Diane. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm Annie. I'm in the wrong spot here. I'm going to put my back to somebody. I'm sorry. I've been here about 10 years, and I can echo what has been said already about community. This is my tribe. There's no doubt about it. I don't know what I'd do without you guys. The third piece of our attitude of gratitude, where it says that let us be grateful for those who share their gifts with us, for we are enriched by their giving. And that's what I feel so often. You know, we've all been very privileged to be able to help in so many ways and so many people. And either it be somebody who's in the congregation who needs a little help with a casserole or a ride to the hospital or whatever, or something larger, what we do with some of our social justice actions, it gives us that ability and that platform to just step into that very easily. We are never casting about for, gee whiz, what should I do? It's always right here, and it has been just a joy to do everything that I have felt like I could do without having to do any kind of soul-searching or whatever. It's just a natural progression of what happens here, so I'm very, very grateful for that.
Thank you, Annie.
Hi, I'm Joanne. I came here when I was 23 years old, and I'm 83 now, and I don't... that's a lot of years. And I had 4 children. I got married very young. And I walked in the door and heard Dave Gunberg give a talk on the different... It was Christmas time, and he gave a talk on different religions around the world and how they celebrated and why they celebrated that time of the year. And I just felt this huge sigh. I'm home. I was home because I'd been to lots of churches trying to find it and everything. Nothing seemed home. And so this has been an extended family for me for all these years. We've had our ups and our downs, but I'm so grateful. People, I was so young. Helen Platt was the first person I met. She met me at the door. Do you remember that, Helen? I don't know if you remember. And those people enfolded me in their arms. It was a small group then, but I was really young, and I didn't have a college degree, and they just expected me to do things like become in charge of the speakers for that year and stuff like that. And I did it. And so it helped me grow in confidence. And they were my mentors as well as my very good friends. And I'm very grateful also.
Thank you, Ann.
Hi, I'm Katie here. I'm an in-betweener. I've been here about 3 years. And originally came because my very opinionated son, Max, was having a really rough time and needed a community outside of school. But I grew up as a Unitarian in Berkeley, and so I think the reason that here was my first gut instinct and why we stayed is that coming here was like coming home. It was the same sense of community and the same rituals that I really missed from growing up that I wanted him to have too. He's doing a lot better than when we first came, and I know a big part of that is his community here.
Thank you, Katie.
My name is David LaDuca, and I came here a couple years back in 2008. Do you do the math? I don't know the math. we came part-time. My brother was here, my sister-in-law was here, and they did hikes, and they did campouts and all stuff. I was like, sign me up for that stuff. And I'll come once a month just to make it look like I'm not, like, totally leeching off everybody. But we were part of another church. We were part of a church in Portland, and we suffered a disconnection from that church, and it was really hard because at the time I had a connection with my parents. My parents live far away, and they go to the same church, and we all eat the same flesh, whatever it is, and we were connected through this holy thing, you know, with my parents, and I was like, oh, and I just lost that connection. I lost membership to that church. And I just felt horrible. And we said, we need a home. We need a home where we will feel at home. And we joined WOF full-time rather than just coming once a month. And I had this really amazing moment. I was in the kitchen. I was washing dishes. And I realized that through washing dishes at WOF, I had that same connection with my mom. I didn't need all that other stuff. And I called her up. I was like, you will never believe it, Mom. And she was so touched. And she was so thrilled. And she has that spirit of volunteering. She has that spirit of welcoming. She had that spirit that WOF has. And I was reconnected. And really, whenever I needed that connection, it's here. So come on down and do dishes with us.
That's a plug for the dishes crew.
Well, Rosie, you and Phil and Irv and I were sitting around our table, I don't know, 16 years ago, and you just asked casually if we went to church. And I said, oh, we started in the 70s, my husband and I. He was the one. And we would go to East Rose out in Gresham, and then we would go to Atkinson Memorial out in Oregon City. And I would stay home and do lesson plans. It was the only time I could ever have silence in the house. And so I really didn't go, although I wanted to. And Jim and Susie and John went and came home with good tales. And I was always divinely interested in this, but didn't have the time as a teacher. So when my husband passed and I met Irv, Irv went to the tennis club where Phil and Rosie were and became friends, and we had them over to dinner that night, and they asked the question, and I said, well, I am a Unitarian, have been one since the 70s, but I don't go anymore. She says, why don't you try us out? So that I did, and I sat with you, Rosie, the first time, and then I was the second time pulled by your very steady arm into the membership team. And stayed there until just a few months ago. And have been other things, helping out with the musical interludes and helping out with moderating and doing the, the yard work stuff that we do on Saturdays. So lots of stuff has happened here. Lots of people, just so special, every one of you, in your very unique way, have come into my life, and there's no other place that I would rather be than just exactly right here.
I used to be the volunteer coordinator, and nobody was safe.
That's right.
Hi, I'm Barbara, and my husband Dave and I used to belong to the Church of the Brunch. We would sleep late on Sunday and then go out to brunch. And that was our ritual. Lured me into WUF first occasionally, and then I found out that you couldn't predict which Sundays would be great, so I better came all the time just to be on the safe side. And I think that a couple of hours a week spent thinking and pondering and discussing how to be our best selves is much more useful to me than a couple of hours of sleep. I mean, no comparison. And I also would like to say, now that I've been around for quite a while, that when we're not our best selves, this is one of, you know, this is sort of like an opportunity for a learning experience. And I think that WUF is a very flexible community, you know, gives you, you know, second chances, third chances to be your best self. And I think that that's really, that's the acid test of an organization that's good, that's healthy. Thank you.
I've been a member for maybe close to 8 years. I found this place because I drove a school bus up and down Olson Road and wondered what it was about and dropped in one morning, and somebody mentioned the absolutely wonderful dance choir. The day I dropped in, they were dancing, and I came back the next week, and I think the choristers sang that week, and I was hooked. I've been back ever since. I just, the comment I would make is, coming back, coming often, coming back, I think is important to reap the benefits of WUF. You can't just come once. Well, you can, but you'll find so much more by coming back. And Barb was talking about getting another chance to be your best selves. I think you made a comment about that. I agree, and that you don't run out of chances either. It's a safe place. So you can pretty much, well, you can be yourself without the risk of criticism or judgment, and I really like that part. I have, I used to work in the kitchen a lot when I first came, and I don't do that so much anymore, but I would advise anyone new that wants to get to know people, do two things. Volunteer to be a coffee server, because you get to meet people while you're handing them coffee and saying where the hot water is and telling the kids where the hot chocolate is. And once in a while, volunteering to clean up after service with somebody, because you're working together and you get to know people that way. I also joined the choristers. Are we out of time? I don't know when I joined the choristers. It's been a few years, but Ralph Parsons, and he's not here today, was the director at that time. And I love Ralph. I mean, he was so easygoing and accepting of this person who couldn't carry a tune in a bushel basket. Well, Ralph went out and got a 2-bushel basket, and that seemed to work for me for a while. That's the other opportunity. I think we're around 25 members now. It's a good big choir. 30. That's good. Good.
There's always room for more.
That's room for more.
Thank you all so much for sharing.